Tonight, our 10-minute speaker is Brandon from San Diego.
Brandon, alcoholic. And, you know, Larry's not here, but I'd like to thank him for asking me to come out and speak. And he texted me a couple weeks ago, and he asked me to do this 10-minute talk. And he texts me, he says, I'll need to get your number because I'd like you to come out and speak for 10 minutes at SoCal. And I'm thinking, well, he just texts me on my number. Why the hell does he need my number? So I'm sitting there thinking, does he know that I have a number that I don't know about? Or so, I mean, that's just kind of, you know, story of my life. And as I'm sitting there, you know, I'm thinking, I don't like microphones. I don't like sitting in the front row. And that's, I mean, from day one, the family that I grew up in, I didn't want it. I had too much love. Wasn't loved enough. You know, I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I didn't have a big ass forehead. You know, I wish I wasn't bow legged. It's been like that for me from day one. I never wanted what I had. I've always wanted something you've had, your life. It's always looked better out there, and it's been dead on the inside for me. And you know, the first time I drank alcohol was absolutely magical. You know, because all that I was just telling you, it changed. You know, it made life black and white when I was sober, but it made life colorful when I was drunk. And you know, like the book talks about, it always gets worse. And you know, I have continually sought out something out there to fill a hole on the inside. You know, and for me today, as it was at the beginning, alcohol is just a lonely, lonely illness, and you just don't quite understand how I've got it, how it feels to be me. You know, it's been very unbearable from the get-go, and it's been unbearable to be me, and it's been unbearable to have to get along with other people, because I just don't know how, quite honest. You know, like I said, my drink career started off, you know, just on the weekends, and what happened eventually is that I lost the power of choice. Now, I don't know when that line was crossed, but all those lines that, you know, that I dug in the sand and said I'd never do, I crossed them. And at the very end, alcohol stripped any bit of dignity, any bit of self-respect, any morals I ever had. And it was lonely sitting in that garage by myself, and all I saw was the light of my cigarette, you know, and that hopelessness for me was that it's going to be like this for the rest of my life, and I just don't know how to get out of it, you know. And growing up, I mean, I had learning disabilities. I went to doctors and tutors and psychiatrists and all that stuff because I want to be fixed. You know, I don't want to put in any extra effort of having to fix myself. Tell me what's wrong with me and give me what I need to get, and I'm on my way. And you know, so I drank through all that. I drank down to San Diego, and you know, I was going to recreate my life. And what happened was I found the same type of people I was hanging out with up north that I came down here. You know, I'm attracted to that chaos, that mayhem, and those dark bars, and there's seedy stuff going on in it. And, you know, what I did know when I got here was the obsession and that allergy that's the two that go together, and the 12 and 12 talks about that merciless obsession that somehow, someday, I'm going to be able to control and enjoy my drinking. And, you know, it sent me to the hospital. And you know, when I was hanging around people, I mean, I sought out lower companionship, man. You know, I mean, the people that I was hanging out with, I mean, they were doing the same thing I was, you know. And, you know, what happened was is that you know, I just came to a place where I could not stand the face staring back at the mirror at me. And, you know, I first time I came to AA, I sure in the hell wasn't like you guys. You know, I can handle this. And so I went back out and I drank, and I understood the powerlessness on step one, that I practice that out there, that if I come here with any glimmer of a hope that I can do it on my own, I'm not going to listen to what you guys got to offer me. Because like you said, self will run riot. And, you know, I mean, it can start off, I mean, my head will tell me I'm just going to have a couple drinks after work, you know. And I will get the relief on the way to the liquor store because I know exactly what's going to happen when I get that beer in my hand and open that beer. And you know what happens? Those two tall cans turn into a bottle, and it turns into either, you know, sometimes, you know, breaking into a house, maybe passing out on the couch, maybe passing on the front lawn, maybe going to a party and stealing something from somebody's house, maybe wrecking somebody. It's unpredictable. It's really unpredictable. But what makes me an alcoholic and what the Big Book talks about is I have an allergy. That once I start drinking, I cannot tell you how many drinks I'm going to have. And that's where that power of choice has left me. That the days that I woke up swearing that I would never do it again, and I meant it, cold-heartedly. I mean, I would stare her in the eyes, my mom in the eyes. I'm done. And by noontime, I find myself walking to the liquor store sober. Start craving sober. So when the book talks about the lack of power as my dilemma, I have no power against the first drink. And, you know, like I said, so I went back out and I came back in and you know, for the first time, I identify with what you guys are talking about, that powerlessness and that just, you know, I had nothing more to give. I had no more fight. I was bankrupt, like the gentleman talked about. And I'll tell you what, when I came here, I was bitter. I was pissed. And I could not stand anyone that smiled or that was happy. And, you know, I had a deep-seated resentment towards my father. And, you know, what happened was my sponsor just got me busy. You know, like you guys have always talked about and shown me. And what happened was I had that awakening that it talks about in Step 12. That alcohol did for so many years, it alters my perception of reality. And after doing an inventory and taking a look at some of that stuff, what I saw was that my dad did the best he could with me raising me. You know, but I held that a long ways into sobriety. And so I do an inventory, and I told this man everything. You know, because I'm the type of guy that wants to present the stage character like the book talks about. And that I want you to see from the outside what's going on, but good God, if you saw what was going on the inside, you know, you wouldn't want to know. You know, I've got secrets when I come here. And, you know, along with that goes some guilt and shame, remorse, self-pity, and all that type of stuff. And, so I tell him everything, and I tell him a couple things that I had, the skeletons in the closet, and he's just, all right, let's move on. You know, and I'm waiting for the whole, you know, get out of my car, and you're a weirdo, and that's... I know. I'm like, I already know I'm a weirdo, so it's fine. You know, and we moved on to the steps, and I made those amends, and I'll tell you what, that was like where I saw the big change was the amends, when I go back to these people and make the wrong right. It wasn't easy, but, you know, for me today, I found some freedom today. You know, that prison of the mind I lived in for so many years, I found some freedom behind that, and you know, to be able to go out and carry that and help another alcoholic and to be able to build some unity, you know, in AA, at work, you know, because I'm a one-man army type of thing. Like, I think I can come in here and my head tells me that my idea is going to be better than all your guys' ideas. And it's absurd, you know, to think like that. But so I got a sponsor and a couple guys I'm close with that you know, you know, sit there and tell me I'm a whack job and move on. You know, that's really not it's really not true. And, you know, through that, I'm able to pray to a God I don't understand all the time, but something's changed on the inside. And that's what AA's been. It's been a change on the inside to repair what's damaged and, you know, continue to move forward. And when I look in the mirror today, it's a little bit different. You know, I try to be a man of my word and I don't have any secrets. And to be able to live like that and look you in the eye and not be ashamed, I've come a long ways, man. Because I stared at the ground as a kid. I mean, just no self-worth whatsoever. So I've done some contrary actions and been able to sit up here and share my experience with that. You know, and I screw up. I'm still self-righteous, judgmental. But I'm aware of that today. And through the awareness, I'm able to change a little bit and grow and be a little bit different than I was, you know, 6 months ago or 4 days ago. So, again, thank you for this opportunity.